sins are paid for by the shed blood of Christ. Faith is confirmed in his resurrection body. But there's one more blessing that comes out of experiencing him in communion. In fact, the word communion is real, and in a real and significant way serves as a reminder of something that Christ hopes for but doesn't always experience. Something he hopes for but he doesn't always experience. Turn back in your Bibles to the very end, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And the Apostle John's vision of the risen Savior in all of his magnificence, in all of his greatness, John received a word from Christ for the seven churches of Asia Minor. The church of Laodicea was much like many Western churches, many American churches, many Christians today. It was affluent. It was wealthy in the possessions of the world. In fact, it was rich in possessions according to the world. But it became rich in its own eyes. It became rich in its own eyes, overconfident in what it owned. But in reality, the church of Laodicea was terribly poor in the eyes of the Lord. The faith of God's people became lukewarm, useless, to the point of being distasteful to him. And he said, "I will spew you out of my mouth." They were content in their own possessions, and because of that, they became powerless. They lacked any closeness to the Lord who saved them and who would have empowered them with the fire of his presence, much like what he wants to do and give to every lukewarm believer and every lukewarm body of believers today and every day. When we truly experience Christ in communion, we experience close fellowship with him. We experience close fellowship. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Okay. Even though this verse is used a lot in witnessing, it's not a verse about salvation. Boy, I hope I didn't pull the plug on you with that. This is not a verse about salvation. It is a verse written to a church filled with believers. This is a verse written to believers. It's a verse about fellowship. It is a verse about intimacy with the Almighty, risen and enthroned and coming again, Lord Jesus Christ. Not that he needs fellowship. We need fellowship with him. And Jesus wants and offers a great gift to lukewarm Christians. And the communion meal is a reminder. Once your faith is in Christ, once your sins are paid for, the number one thing you need in your life every day is intimate fellowship with the risen Christ Jesus. You need close contact with your Lord. You need close contact with Christ Jesus. Revelation 3:20 paints a picture of Christ knocking at the door of a church that doesn't even realize that they have become so self-sufficient in their own mind that they have no idea how desperately they need him and how poverty-stricken their hearts have become. Okay, anybody in this room ever experienced a candlelight dinner for two? Looking for hands. See a few. See those hands? Thank you. I'm going to give an altar call in a minute. No, I'm not. If you ever have, then you understand what Jesus is suggesting here. Dr. Bruce Leifblad said to me over lunch one day in Fort Worth, Texas, Dr. Bruce says, when it comes to worship, no matter how many come, it's always a table for two. Isn't that beautiful? When it comes to worship, no matter how many come, it's always a table for two. The amazing, stunning, awe-inspiring, risen and enthroned Lord Jesus Christ wants to focus solely on you and you and you and you and you and you. He does. He longs to have your undivided focus directed back toward Him just as well. He longs for open conversation and communication through which He can tell you how very much He loves you, how very much He values little old you compared to amazing, timeless Him. In a really great way, a really wonderful way, that ought to blow your mind. If you sit with that thought, I mean, is an understatement for what ought to occur. The Almighty Savior of the world wants time alone with you and me. But He waits for you to open the door. Behold, that's the I am of everything. Stand at the door and knock. The Almighty Savior of the world wants time alone with you, but He waits for you outside. He won't knock the door open. He waits just outside, yearning for you to be yearning for Him. He waits outside, yearning for you to be yearning for Him. Once a month, we experience a level of fellowship and closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ that we could have every day. If each and every day we will hear Him knocking, we will own our inadequacies, and we will open the doors that keep Him out. Maybe for you that's a lot of doors. Maybe for you it's one great big thick door. Maybe it's a sin in your life. Maybe it's busyness. Maybe it is personal riches. Maybe it's too many toys. Maybe you have too much on your mind and the roar of it all drowns out His knocking. All of that stuff can cloud your vision. It can crowd out the one you need more than anything or anyone else ever, ever. Remember when you were praying in communion just a little bit ago? Remember how you focused your heart on Him? Why not take that closeness home? Why not take that home with you? Jesus wants it, and you need it. You need it. Communion with Him. Fellowship with your Lord. Do what James 4:8 says. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. He will. He will. So here's your homework. Take communion home. That doesn't mean, you know, serve up a little bread and juice or bread and wine. Take this intimacy home with you. Do your best to get close to Jesus this week, to experience Him every day for 7 days in a row, and see if that closeness, that close communion with Christ, doesn't prove to become your most treasured prize. I believe it will. To God be the glory. Great things He has done.